One evening earlier this week, I was walking around my neighborhood when I passed a woman who was stopped and looking into a storefront window. I almost walked right by, but just as I kind of glanced her way, I realized that this was an old friend of mine, a homeless woman who I hadn't seen in over 2 years because we lost track of each other at the beginning of the pandemic. And I was just so relieved to see that she was still alive. I wasn't sure if she would have made it. I could only imagine what it must be like to have come through COVID while going in and out of shelters and living on the streets. So I spoke her name. I was wondering if she would recognize me, and she turned around and her eyes lit up, and we shared a hug. And we stood there talking for quite a while there on the corner. Just she caught me up on her life and how she had come through the last 2 winters and where she had set up her tent these days. And then there was this great rushing sound, like a gust of wind, and I thought about the disciples when the Spirit descends in the first reading today, that great gust of air that they heard. In my case, this was the sound of a bus pulling up beside us. Her bus. So we looked at each other, and I could see by the expression on her face that she just had so much more to say. And she asked, "Can you come with me?" So I confess that I hesitated. I hesitated for a lot of reasons, beginning with, I didn't know where she was going. I had no idea where this ride was taking her. I also had things that I had planned to do at home. There was a certain way I'd imagined I would spend the evening. And I had no idea how I would get back here to my neighborhood if I did go along with her. But getting back to exactly the place we started isn't always the point, amen. Nor is knowing exactly where we're headed what our destination is. So I didn't hesitate long. I was just so glad to have encountered this friend. I was so grateful that this connection was still in my life, that I just let her point the way. And I figured, well, this evening wasn't really mine anyway. It was a free evening. It was extra. St. Basil the Great said, whatever extra you have, I'm paraphrasing, whatever extra you have, whether it's wealth or things or time, it isn't yours. It belongs to the poor. Even if you have only 2 pairs of shoes, one of them isn't really yours. It belongs to the poor. So this is an ideal, obviously. I fall short of this 99% of the time. But I do try to keep it in mind. I try to let it inform my life and help me make changes in small ways. The Spirit comes as it will, comes as suddenly as a rush of wind, scoops us up like a bus arriving, and it carries us off along a route we might not have planned and that we might not know the end point of. That is, if we don't let fear lock us in, like the disciples begin at the start of this passage. They're locked in fear. If we don't get locked in place, one idea of what our life has to be. There's no certainty with the Spirit, except that it leads us on adventures. And it comes to us most of the time through the encounter with people on the margins. With the Spirit of Christ, the poor take the lead, and the oppressed set the direction. And the rest of us are invited just to accompany them along the way that they ask us to go. So this weekend is Pentecost, the Feast of the Holy Spirit, as well as our feast day as a parish. 23 years now, we've been Spiritus Christi, a community living in the Spirit of Christ. Don't you love the majestic towering trees around Rochester that are, many of them, flowering this time of year? I think about our parish when I look at them. They remind me of our parish in its current stage. It's mature now with a strong trunk, a strong central structure, and that only comes from persevering through years and years and growing in wisdom through all kinds of weather. And for us, that core is our outreaches. It's a large staff. It's a healthy organization. And many of you help steward that in very quiet ways behind the scenes. So I just want to thank all of you who do that work today. It doesn't get seen most of the time, and it really, really matters. So thank you for helping us be as strong as we are. We also have roots that are sunk deep, a strong foundation. For us, that foundation's inclusion and mission to the poor. Our roots drink deeply of Catholic spirituality. Catholic in both senses, right? So that word means universal, means welcoming to all, it means here comes everybody. And Catholic in the other sense, in the sense of sacramental, rooted in the Eucharist. And in a broader way, to say that we have a sacramental view of the whole universe. The material and the spiritual aren't separate. God speaks to us in the ordinary, speaks to us in bread, in wine, in oil, in water, in human touch. And this affects how we look at everything, right? It means nature is sacred. It means the body is sacred. It means every person, every bit of earth is sacred. There's a third thing to notice looking at those great old trees. All along the branches, even the tiniest twigs, there are green shoots, right? There's brand new life sprouting and seed pods just waiting to scatter everywhere. And this is like us too. I am very proud that this is a place that's a seed bed that launches all of you guys out into so many personal and individual ministries that you have. You carry the spirit of Spiritus all over Rochester, all over the world, those of you joining us on live stream, and you've caused all kinds of projects to sprout and spring up. There are far too many to name. There's probably as many as there are folks here. But just to name a few, just this week, Mary Lou Aguilar decided to send flowers on behalf of our church to the families of two of the children who were killed in Texas. And Marie Peterson hatched a plan to bring supplies to those affected by the shooting in Buffalo. Dave Regan, a professional chef amongst us in this congregation, sometimes cooks a gourmet meal for homeless folks staying temporarily at Motel 6. Ken and Barb Simmons, who might be joining us while they're on their vacation in California today. Ken and Barb gather up food from the Pittsford Wegmans that would otherwise be thrown out, and they distribute it to all the different little free food stands all over the city. And they really thought that they might run out of steam on this ministry fairly quickly, that either the finances would run out or the people power would run out or the supplies would run out. Instead, thanks to a lot of you guys, all these things just keep coming in and they've had to expand their route. And now they've been going for a couple years now. This is a very steady, established ministry, and organically it just keeps growing. So thanks, Ken and Barb, for starting that. And the list just goes on. Jesus breathes his spirit into the disciples when everyone is together, not just a few. It descends on all the people. As St. Paul says, we all have different gifts and they all are needed. And by the way, on October 1st, we're going to have a parish visioning day, both to dream about the future and to share together what we appreciate, what we think is good about the parish right now. So mark your calendars, because we need everybody. Whether you got here 4 days ago or 4 decades ago, whether you're 10 or 110, you matter, and we need your voice. So hope everybody can come. I'm so glad that this is a community that helps each person find and use their individual gifts, their charism, this is sometimes called. That's the special way that you're uniquely called to serve God. Our charism as a church, our collective spiritual gift as Spiritus Christi, seems to me, is our ability to take what's extra, what's unused, especially in terms of spaces, and rededicate them for a purpose of helping the oppressed or helping the neighbors. One member of our parish said to me, we were into repurposing way before it was cool. I think over the next few years, there will be a new opportunity to step into that charism. I don't know exactly what it will be yet, but I really think it's coming. It's gotten to where over in our building that we rent part of over on Fitzhugh Street, that the maintenance staff, especially Bobby and Joseph, roll their eyes when they see me coming because I'm always thinking with this lens. I'm always asking them about the empty spaces upstairs, like I asked them about the apartment. There's a fully functioning apartment in that building over there. It's from the days of the sanctuary movement in the 80s. And right now, we have a refugee crisis in Ukraine. We have a refugee crisis in Afghanistan. We have a refugee crisis in so many places. By 2060, not 100 years from now, 2060, scientists tell us there will be 1.4 billion refugees just because of what climate change has brought about. So when this is the situation, maybe it's time for that apartment to hold a refugee family again. Maybe that apartment belongs to the poor. There are also unused offices over there in that building. They started out being spaces to house people many years ago. When we have a shelter and a transitional housing crisis in Rochester, especially downtown, maybe those rooms belong to the poor. I think most often about the people that come to our door from outside the church, both literally and figuratively. We have always said that we are here for those who are not here, meaning neighbors who might never sit in our pews, but who come to us as walk-ins with various questions and needs for us. We see a lot of these folks, and often they come with life situations that are very complex, that are unique and complicated. The usual systems haven't worked, and the only thing that might help is some long-term accompaniment over time through thick and thin. And Reverend Myra is so, so good at this. These folks knock on our door because they sense a relationship. They knock on our door and not another one because of a personal connection. They feel that we're a place that listens, that values each person and the whole person with sensitivity, with time, with attention, and that makes me very proud. I also suspect that there may come a time, because we are so good at this, that the need grows and becomes maybe too much for one person or too much for the office staff, and we may be invited to ask whether we're being called to expand that into a ministry. In any case, the people will tell us if, when and if that's the direction we should take. Who knows what doors the Spirit will open? The psalmist says, "Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth." This is a time of renewal, folks. After years of hard work, Spark will soon break ground on the Civil Rights Heritage Site. In our outreaches, yes, let's hear it. In our outreaches, more and more chances are springing up for those encounters, those relationships that change lives, our neighbors, but mostly our own. After a long hiatus due to COVID, some of our prison outreach groups who visit men and women in jail and prison have already resumed, and others are going to do so within the month. Grace of God Recovery House has added an extra room for an additional resident, and Mark Bennett tells me that should someone gifted with construction experience materialize out here among the pews, that there could be the possibility of adding even more. Hint, hint. In the mental health center, Amy Durkee has been creating groups that bring together folks that have been primarily or even exclusively in the pews with folks who have been primarily or exclusively served by the center who might not otherwise cross paths. She's created groups that bring everybody together, groups for women, groups for people trying to find their vocation, their purpose, and I'm sure she has many more ideas that are coming. Meanwhile, Eileen Hurley is going to resume doing outreach. She's going out to meet people where they are, just like Jesus tells the disciples to do in this gospel today. He says, "I'm sending you to bring peace to a violent world, to bring forgiveness, because our world's so unforgiving." Our outreaches are doing this, breathing peace again and again into the world, bringing mercy and forgiveness. And the renewal doesn't end there. Today, for the first time in 3 years, as we heard, we'll have our parish picnic. And this year, it will be much easier for our families from Speaking from the Heart to join us, because we have a new parish van, which will, so much to clap for, yes, which will also carry our youth group out into the streets of Rochester this summer to serve the world. So this is one more way that we're being sent out. Who knows, maybe one day we'll decide to turn the annual parish picnic into a neighborhood party. We used to do that in Corpus days sometimes, and invite everyone, like Jesus did. We could feed a multitude and really step into that here comes everybody idea. Mass in the park is also returning, but why stop at Ellison Park? I'm dreaming about holding Mass in many places outside the walls of the church building. This is a sacramental world. Grace shines through everywhere. All we have to do is show up and be present and witness to it. So before COVID, in Washington Square Park, there was often an encampment where folks would stay. Many people who were chronically homeless, many young people would stay there. And there was a group in town called the Boomtown Brothers that started throwing this huge cookout to feed everybody. And then that grew. It kept growing and growing organically, and all sorts of organizations would pitch in and send supplies and send blessings of different kinds down there to Washington Square Park. So if they start up again, maybe we can have a Mass down there sometime and bring something to contribute to their effort. Sometimes when people hear mention of Spiritus Christi out in Rochester, out in the world, the first question that they inevitably ask is, isn't that Jim Callan's church? I gently remind them that Reverend Myra is the pastor, and that Reverend Mary was before her for many years. Occasionally, there's a variant on the question. Isn't that Myra Brown's church? Isn't that Mary Rammerman's church? Margie Henniger's church? Jim Smith's church? And the answer to all of these questions is no. This parish belongs to the Holy Spirit. We all have to be captive to a larger vision, bigger than any one person, bigger than any one group of people, no matter how talented. This church belongs to the Spirit of Christ. It's a spirit that rests on all of us. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us where she found us. She flows through tradition and newness, roots and shoots. There's always continuity between the two. She sweeps in with a rush of wind and asks, "Can you come with me?" All we have to do is follow her lead. All we have to do is be ready to step up and go along for the ride. Happy feast day.